Arcaders, it's UberNerd527 here. Welcome once again to the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater and our mini-cast, Pokemon Rewind. Now, this whole month, we've been doing episodes with Poke Friends. We're continuing this month with one guy that you've already heard before, but I brought him back for a couple episodes. Say hello to Danny, the Ultrasonic Player.
Yo, what's happening, everybody?
Woo! Oh, man. Welcome back, Danny.
Hey, great, man. Glad to be back, man.
Have you liked the episode so far?
Honestly, it's been great. And the way you've been able to lay all the episodes out and everything else, it goes nicely. It's fun and entertaining, and it never drags, not for a second.
Cool.
Which is really good.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you very much. Now, before we get into it real quick, once again, the Pokemon Podcast is a podcast that is going through episodes of the Pokemon anime. We pick a random story arc, and then we go through episode by episode. This story arc that we're currently in is the Orange Islands episodes, and we are currently looking at episode 6 today. We have some fun facts about episode 6, and let's go into them right now, shall we, Mr. Danny? So, this is episode 86 of the anime. And it was first broadcast in America on February 5th, 2000. How old were you on February 5th, 2000?
I was basically 2000. I was 25 going on 26.
Oh, wow. Wow.
No,
back in...
No. Not 25 going on 26. Excuse me. I was 15 going on 16.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Got my dates good. Oh, my gosh.
That's all right. Well, anyways. Yeah. So this episode of the Orange Islands, we have a lot to talk about in this episode. It's probably one of my favorite episodes of the series, of this story arc. And I really wanted Danny, the Ultrasonic Player, to come join us. So this is actually one of the first episodes where the evil organization controls Pikachu. There has been many episodes where Pikachu has been controlled, and this is one of the very first episodes that this happens. Did you know that?
Yes, I know that there have been several attempts to try to control Optimus Prime, I think, but nothing really successful. And with this one, this is the one time where it's like, yeah, it actually worked for a time.
Right.
Specifically this episode.
Right, I totally agree. And the only two episodes I can remember is there's an episode in the Ruby and Sapphire days where Pikachu gets controlled by Kyogre for a little while and has the Kyogre tattoos all over him, which was kind of cool looking. And the other one was in X and Y. There's an episode with Malamar, and Malamar controls Pikachu for a time. So those are the two episodes I can remember with kind of this controlling Pikachu kind of thing, and Ash tries to get Pikachu back. So this is kind of the first for Ash and for this whole series, actually. This also is the first appearance, well, not the first appearance, sorry, this is also the second appearance of Jesse and James' rivals, Butch and Cassidy. We meet Butch and Cassidy in an episode back in the Indigo League called The Breeding Center Secret, where Butch and Cassidy dress up as breeders. At a Pokemon daycare center and try to steal Pokemon that way. This episode brings Butch and Cassidy back, and they're kind of like Jesse and James's like rivals. Every main character in this series has to have a rival. Ash has several rivals. Misty has a couple rivals. Even Brock had a rival, I believe. But everyone has to have a rival, right? So why not Jesse and James? I wish Meowth had a rival. I guess that Pershing was Meowth's kind of rival. I guess? Maybe? I don't know. Well, anyways. So, those are pretty much all the fun facts we have for this episode. So, what do you say we get into this episode, right?
Alright, yep.
Alright, so this episode is entitled...
Pikachu Revolts!
That's right, Pikachu Revolts. So, let's get into it. So, we start off with the first scene, which is them arriving at an island called Mandarin Island. Mandarin Island is named after, of course, a type of orange. All of these islands are named after a type of orange, Mandarin being another type of orange. And they arrive on Mandarin Island, and, of course, Ash and company are hungry, of course. They want to eat something. You know, they've been sailing on Lapras for days, and they need to find some food. So they see the island. They get all excited. One of the comments that Misty makes about this is that this is kind of like it looks like a floating city. It looks like the buildings are floating in the water. And So you can tell that this is a pretty big city, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So
really big.
I don't know whether this is probably one of the biggest in the Orange Islands, but this is a pretty big city.
It really is. And it really gives you the sense that it's a lot bigger than it appears. And yeah, even from a distance, as Misty pointed out, it looks like a bunch of buildings floating on water, essentially.
Right. And then we don't beat around the bush this episode. We introduce Team Rocket right away. They are in their Magic Carp sub, and they are following Ash and Company to Mandarin Island. They don't beat around the bush this episode. Jesse, James, and Meowth are appeared right there and then. So we skip. There really isn't too much to note to Team Rocket's intro. They just intro them. Of course, you have to explain what they're doing there, why they're there. We go right into the next scene. Ash and Company arrive on Mandarin Island. They go to the port. They get off Lapras. Ash calls back Lapras. Then they kind of walk the dock for a little bit, and then they see these trainers running away from a couple of Magnemite and a Voltorb, and also a Grimer. Voltorb, Magnemite, and Grimer. And, so that's all three of them. And you realize that these are their Pokemon, and they are attacking them. Now, we don't know why yet, but for some reason, they are being attacked by this, and Ash and Company, of course, they decide to help, right? Of course, because, Ash and friends, they got to help. But as they are about to go help, Pikachu and Togepi start looking a little weird. They start looking a little angry. And Togepi jumps out of Misty's arms, and Pikachu kind of walks off with this just glare on his face. And before leaving, Ash tries to get to Pikachu, and Pikachu shoots off an electric attack at Ash. Now, this is I think, besides probably the first couple episodes, this is actually the first time we've actually seen Pikachu intentionally fire an electric attack at Ash.
Yeah.
And this is probably not like a love electric shock where, Ash is fine. This is actually a pretty dangerous, like, you could get hurt very badly from their shock. And you can see the distinction in it, too, even in the animation. So Ash tries to stop Pikachu from going away, and of course Misty and them try to stop Togepi. And as they do, the Magnemite attack Ash with a thunder. They fly around him in a circle, and they shock him. And then the Voltorb that's with them blows up, and when all the dust clears, Pikachu and the rest are gone. And of course shows up, of course, who do we find here on this island? None other than Officer Jenny. She comes up asking what happened. Misty and Ash are freaked out because I think this is probably the first time that Ash has ever seen this expression on Pikachu's face, as well as Misty, seeing Togepi's face like that, right? Because Togepi's usually adorable. This is the first time you've seen him, like, angry. This kind of concerns them, right?
Yeah.
So
it really does, because it's...
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, it's a complete, like, all of a sudden your Pokemon, they do a 180 on you, and you're like, guys, what's going on? That kind of vibe.
Right. And I think this is also the freaked-out expression on both Misty and Ash's face, I think, is warranted. I think you really need to show how intensely just they can't really even process this. This is how bad it is. It's they've lived with this Pokemon. These Pokemon are their friends, and all of a sudden they just turn on them and attack, which is really, really weird. And this is, again, one of the first times that this has ever happened to Ash himself.
Yeah.
So, anyways. So Officer Jenny asks what happened. Tracy tells them about Ash and Misty tell them about their missing Pokemon. Tracy brings up the other missing Pokemon. And then Jenny tells about reports that Pokemon have been leaving their trainers and even attacking them. So this is something that has been going on for weeks now, and they have no leads. Now, just as Jenny is saying this, all of a sudden a Ghastly appears right in front of Jenny. And the Ghastly doesn't seem to be affected by this, whatever's happening, right?
No.
And as we already know from previous episodes in the anime, ghost Pokemon are immune to psychic attacks, which in the game, not so much. But in the show, yes, okay, sure, whatever. So Gastly is unaffected by whatever's happening. Officer Jenny and the rest go to a Pokemon Center where Ash talks to Professor Oak. He tells Professor Oak what happened, and Oak is just stumped. He can't believe what has just happened himself. And he starts hypothesizing that there's an outside force controlling the Pokemon. Of course, then this makes Jenny realize that this is a psychic attack and decided that she's going to use Gastly, because Gastly is immune to psychic attacks, to use to find the other Pokemon. And of course, Ash is just freaking out, man. He has lost it. He is not in control right now. You know, one minute he's like focused. The next he's beside himself. It is crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and with good reason, because, you know, his best friend just, you know, turned on him, like, on a dime with no real reason. And so, in the fact that there's this outside power that all of a sudden turned his best friend against him, it's like, all right, look, I mean, what's going on? I mean, what, seriously, I mean, who's doing this? Yeah, so it's that kind of feeling that, yeah, I mean, Ash pretty much has every good reason to pretty much go a little bit, you know, haywire right now, considering that, you know, that his talent just did a 180, you know, out of the blue. So he's well within his rights to be emotional right now.
Right, and it even takes Tracy, like, to, like, literally grab Ash and go, calm down, buddy, we're gonna fix this. Just calm down. Which I thought was kind of an interesting scene, because here's Ash and he's freaking out about Pikachu being gone, and Tracy has to literally grab him and say, it's going to be all right. We're going to fix this. Don't worry. So it's really interesting to see this in a kid's show, that this kid is freaking out. And this is kind of very real world if you think about it.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. So then they all decide to go help Officer Jenny find the missing Pokemon. And we're cut to Team Rocket, who has already made it to the island. And it seems that Jesse and James want to go sightseeing at this Mandarin factory for some reason. I guess they want to go. They want to go to this Mandarin factory. I guess it's like maybe some oranges. Maybe an orange plant. I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, but they're there, so.
After Jesse and James are kind of wondering, you know, fantasizing about going to this sightseeing tour, Meowth is furious, and he wants to catch Pikachu. He scratches both Jesse and James in the face. My only question so far, and I'll come back to this in a second. We'll go back. So Jesse gets mad with Meowth for scratching her face, of course, and right before she does anything, then, all of a sudden, Meowth is affected. Now, why in the world did it take Meowth so long to get affected by this psychic attack? Do you have any clue?
Not a one, but granted, I don't know if maybe because Meowth taught himself how to speak English. I don't know if that somehow...
Maybe because it has, like, a higher brain function than most Meowths do?
I guess so. I mean, because, again, for a Pokemon to be able to teach himself how to speak English like the rest, you know, like any regular person would, I don't know if that somehow affected his own... I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe that's... Maybe you're right. Maybe it did probably do something up in his brain that made him evolve, I guess, in a way to where it took a little longer for him to be affected by it. Who knows? It's anybody's guess.
And if I can make a quick aside, because I talked about them earlier, one of my favorite shows on YouTube is called The Dex. They did an episode about Meowth, which I find very fascinating, actually, about Meowth talking. The fact that it could be legit. Maybe Meowth has a higher brain function than most Pokemon, so it took a little longer for it to set in. Because even Pikachu, Togepi, and Lapras weren't affected right off the bat. They had to walk a little bit before they finally got affected.
Yeah.
So, and Lapras was called back before it could be affected at all. Pikachu and Togepi, it did take about a minute or two before it actually settled in. So, who knows? So Meowth then runs away, and Jesse and James decide to follow Meowth, and they come to this like abandoned power plant. At least that's what it looks like to me. What did it look like to you? Abandoned power plant?
It pretty much looks like an abandoned power plant or a factory of some kind.
Right, right. So they follow it, and I love that Meowth, they have like a little Pokemon door. They have like a little Pokemon door that goes into a slide. I thought that was kind of hilarious. This had like a little Pokemon door. What was this for, like the Magnemite? Or if this was a power plant, was this for like the Magnemite and Voltorb to kind of just slide down? You know, after a hard day's work, the Magnemite could just float it back up, and the Voltorb kind of just slowly rolled the slide. Do they have like a entrance slide and then like an exit stairs or something? Maybe like a little escalator for the Pokemon?
Probably. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them if I really wouldn't.
So, I thought that was pretty funny. And then, of course, Meowth comes up to these other characters, which we find out later will be Butch and Cassidy. So, you know, Meowth looks up and there's Butch and Cassidy. And they have this kind of like dramatic, like evil villain kind of look to them. And this moment is broken by Jesse and James, who somehow got into the Pokemon slide, and both at the same time, mind you, and they squeeze out of the tube together, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, just that whole them being able to get in. And then their little standoff,
Votto
thing going on.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to get into that. Then Jesse and James come face-to-face with Butch and Cassidy. Of course, James says Butch's name wrong, which I guess is a running gag that continues on. He keeps calling him Botch, which I actually think is a pot shot, not necessarily James just forgetting his name. I actually think he's mocking him because he's calling him Botch.
Yeah, that's how I look at it, too.
Yeah, so there's this Team Rocket motto off that I think is hilarious. Yep. And this really begs a question. The motto that we know is Team Rocket's motto. Is that wrong? Is that just Jesse and James's version of the motto? Because that's what it appears to be.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, considering what we know about Jesse and James, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually just decided to put their own little spin on the motto, and which is the motto that we all hear,
right?
As opposed to the actual one, which Butch and Cassidy sang.
Yeah, I tell you the truth though, I do like Jesse and James's version better. It makes more sense than their version. Of course, maybe I'm just biased because I've just heard it the same way for my entire teenage life. So who knows? Anyways. So after this little standoff between the two of them, Cassidy says to Jesse that she's being kicked off of Team Rocket, that there's a rumor flying around that she's getting kicked off of Team Rocket. James kind of asks, well, how did you get free from our last encounter with you? And Giovanni personally went to the jail and paid their bail. So here's something that really bugs me. Giovanni, the leader of an organization, an evil organization, goes personally to a jail where prisoners are and pays bond to get these guys out. Wouldn't this kind of implicate him as the leader of Team Rocket?
Considering that Giovanni is a very crafty, very shrewd guy, I'm pretty sure he was able to pull some strings in such a way to where they were able to make bail or whatever, however they got out, and yet was able to do it in such a way he probably was able to pull some strings to where he was able to get them out, but yet frame it in such a way to where it can't be backtraced to him.
Right. I don't know. I just feel because they specifically say that he personally went to the jail and paid their bond. So it didn't say that he disguised himself or anything. Of course, we could probably maybe assume that maybe he was disguised. I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, unless, of course, he actually has a direct influence, wherever they were in the clink that they were being held in.
Right. I mean, that's possible. It's possible. I mean, they're kind of like this world's version of the mob, so it's possible. Yeah. It's possible. All right, well, anyways, let's move on. Butch and Cassidy show off their stolen Pokemon to Jesse and James. Jesse and James decide to steal said Pokemon from Butch and Cassidy, so they let out their Pokemon. Then Butch summons Drowsy, who comes down on this, like, elevator. Let me just really quickly jump ahead a bit. I really love Drowsy's little dances in the background. Watch this episode and watch Drowsy dance for this entire episode. Absolutely 100% hilarious. Hilarious. He summons Drowsy. You see that Drowsy is using hypnosis to control the Pokemon, and he tells Drowsy to hypnotize Jesse and James's Pokemon, which they do. Then, of course, they turn around and start attacking, which scares off Team Rocket. We kind of see that Drowsy is hooked up to a machine that's amplifying his hypnotic powers through a satellite in the roof. And then Jesse and James kind of just black out. We don't know what happened necessarily. We know that they were found in a gutter somewhere, but we don't really know what happened to them. Why did Butch and Cassidy keep them alive if they don't really like them? I don't know. But...
Well, I think probably... I guess they figured that since Jesse and James have screwed up so many times, they kind of already figured, you know what, we're going to leave you guys to your own devices.
Right.
Because you're not even worth disposing of in a proper way. We're just going to leave you there.
Okay, so cut to the next scene. Jesse wakes up and sees Ash staring down at her and is, you know, scared a little bit. Of course, Ash, I love Ash's reaction. She's like, is this a dream? She said, no, this is reality. This is really happening. And you look over and see James is being patched up by Misty because apparently he bruised his arm or something. Misty is kind of putting it tight on him and starts complaining, and Misty gives him like kind of this like death stare. And just James kind of settles down, and then Misty pats the bruise. Hurting James, which I thought was hilarious. I just thought that was just...
I like that scene too.
Yeah. It's just funny because, again, this is kind of a mischievous part that Ash and Misty have that I really love about these characters that I kind of miss with newer episodes of the actual show. I kind of miss the mischievousness of both Misty and Ash. More specifically Ash, since we see him more than we see Misty nowadays. But I just kind of miss that. Of course, Ash and company blame Team Rocket for what they think is their fault. But when Ash sees their expression about they've lost their Pokemon and they're working for their rivals, kind of just the sadness on their face, Ash kind of believes them, and that kind of convinces everyone else. And they try to leave and you know, to keep their bad guy cred, if you will. So they refuse to help at first, but then Ash kind of stops them and just has this heartfelt plea to Team Rocket to try to help him out. And this kind of is a little decisive in making Jesse and James work with them. So then we get cut to Butch and Cassidy. They're at the control center of wherever they are, and they see the security feed, and Jesse and James have a cart of Pokeballs that they've pulled up, and they're kind of just talking to Butch and Cassidy through the security cam. And Jesse and James are saying, you know, we've come here to kind of raise the white flag. We think you're doing a great job. We're really sorry. We think we should work together. And so Butch and Cassidy let them in. And just as they were coming with the cart, they show off the Pokeballs. Butch and Cassidy can't believe that Jesse and James would do this. So they kind of are suspicious, but they still let them in anyways. As Jesse and James are kind of winning Butch and Cassidy over, they push the cart and Ash and company pop out of the cart with the Pokeballs in it. Now,
yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Here's my thing. What were they actually planning to do? Well, how exactly were they thinking of stopping them? I guess with Gastly? Maybe their whole plan was like on Gastly stopping them? But...
Well, they knew that Gastly was resistant to Drowsy's psychic attack.
Right, but...
So
But
I guess they figured they had to find a way into the factory.
Right, right.
Without arousing suspicion for a little bit.
Right, but you think they would be a little bit more stealthy, maybe just waiting until the right moment to pop out and, like, bust whatever machine that they're doing? or something. It just doesn't make sense that they would just pop out of the thing and say, okay, stop whatever you're doing. You're doing something bad. Stop it now. And not think that they're going to retaliate.
Yeah, I mean, granted, maybe a better... They could have probably executed a better plan, but...
Nah, that's just the way it goes. I'm bringing a Pokemon in here called Why Not in here. So anytime something like this illogical happens, we're just going to bring Why Not in, and we're going to say...
Why not?
Okay, so that was Why Not. So he's comes in here every once in a while just to remind us, why not? All right, anyways. So Gastly isn't affected by Drowsy's attacks. The Gastly goes after Drowsy. First, Drowsy tries to hit him with different attacks, and Gastly blocks. Gastly is dodging them. Gastly attacks Drowsy, but then Drowsy blocks Gastly's attack. So they're kind of evenly matched, I would assume. Then the hypnotized Pokemon all attack together, and Ash, of course, being Ash, runs into the line of fire. This is an attack with all elements of Pokemon coming toward you. Of course, Ash is going to jump right in front of it. But instead of Ash getting hit this time, Gastly takes the brunt of the attack, which I really assume has to hurt a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Drowsy doesn't have a physical body necessarily, so maybe it didn't hurt as much?
I guess so. I mean, to be fair, none of the Pokemon have the foresight ability, so that's also a good thing.
True. All right, so Ash tries to get Pikachu, and Butch and Cassidy tell Drowsy to specifically control Pikachu to attack Ash. And Ash starts acting a little weird. He has a smile on his face. He starts running around. He looks like he's playing tag with Pikachu. He's kind of, like, enjoying this a little bit. And everyone's kind of wondering why. And then Ash does something very, very smart, I think. This is very smart for Ash. He runs around and has Pikachu try to attack. And then he stands in front of the amplifier machine where Drowsy is. And he taunts Pikachu to attack. And he taunts him and taunts him and taunts him. And finally, Pikachu attacks the machine. Now... this hits the machine and Ash, and then the machine starts blowing up. The blast of the machine blows up the machine with all the Pokemon, and it releases all the Pokemon from their hypnotic trance, which is kind of interesting. And Butch and Cassidy try to fight back, but James calls out Weezing, who uses Smog Attack, allowing everyone to escape. Which is kind of neat. I think that was actually very smart by Ash.
Yeah.
Ash doesn't do a lot of smart things, but every once in a while, Ash does something smart.
Yeah, he has his moments. I mean, granted, they're not often, but when they do happen, they make you go, wow. No, if only he was like this more often.
Yeah. So Ash does something smart. He gets rid of the machine, and they all run out of the power plant. But Butch and Cassidy are standing with Drowsy at the top of the tower and basically challenge Jesse and James to a fight. And, of course, Ash wants revenge on all of them, so he asked to join the fight as well. So we start the fight with Pikachu, Arbok, and Weezing versus Drowsy, which I really think is a pretty cool match. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's pretty cool. And considering the fact that Ash is pretty much ticked off right now, and with good reason, I think he's got enough fire in him to where it's like, okay, let's teach these guys a lesson or two. Yeah, James there, you got yourself a pretty good team that can take on just about anybody. It really shows that Jesse and James can be pretty confident Pokemon trainers themselves in terms of how their Pokemon fight when needed.
Right. No, I totally agree. And however, Drowsy is pretty powerful. He takes on, he uses Teleport to dodge attacks. He uses Mega Punch and hits Weezing, Lickitung, and Victory Bell away. And then he uses Metronome, which is a move that doesn't actually exist anymore. Used to exist in the game. In the original game, Metronome picked any of the attacks that were existing in the game, and at random you would do it. Now, the only bad thing about doing this attack in the game was that you had the chance of using either Explosion or Self-Destruct, which has happened to me a couple of times. Which happened to me a couple of times in the original game. Yeah. But here's the most important part. As Drowsy is doing Metronome, Togepi sees Drowsy do Metronome and starts to mimic Drowsy. And for a minute there, we don't know what's going to happen. We think that Drowsy is going to win. And then all of a sudden, a huge explosion happens, which destroys the entire power plant. But everyone's still okay. And Butch and Cassidy are caught and sent to jail. So obviously Togepi's Metronome worked before Drowsy's Metronome worked. So that's kind of neat.
Yep.
So yeah, we got that. So then we cut to an award ceremony where Ash and them are made, they're made honorary citizens of Mandarin Island. And then they also are looking for Jesse and James to give them an award. Jesse and James are nowhere to be found, but we pan back and see that Jesse and James are kind of looking down at the ceremony, and they just don't want the award because they're not good guys, they're bad guys, and they are going to continue to, you know, try to catch Pikachu. Their stupid mission to catch Pikachu, they're continuing on it, even though they have failed many times. Many times. And then, of course, we get our last shot of them leaving on Lapras, and Misty kind of wonders what happened, you know. And then we get this little shot of Togepi kind of just saying, oh, Togepi's the one that saved the day, secretly. All right.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the episode. Now, I'm going to start with you, Danny, because I usually do my pros and cons. Let's start off with your pros, then I'll do my pros, and then we'll do your cons and my cons, okay?
All
right,
sure.
Okay, so start off with your pros. What did you like about this episode?
Well, I like the fact that as Ash, Misty, and Tracy are traveling around the Orange Island, they come to an island that isn't your typical, you know, island place. And it's actually a lot more, you know, what's the word, metropolitan? Or essentially, it's an island that's more of a city than your typical island.
It's very similar to, like, New York or something like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to be New York, Miami, Chicago, but yeah, it's got that kind of more urban feel, which is nice, because usually, for the most part, you know, when Ash and company travels through the islands, they usually go on, you know, a typical island, and if they're in a town, you know, it's usually, you know, further in, but right from the word go, they pretty much can tell right away, even from a distance, that it's more of a city than an actual island.
Right.
And I like the fact that, you know, you have your usual, you know, trouble in paradise as you, as our heroes get onto the island. And, of course, naturally they come into hell, but, whoa, stop right there. You got, all of a sudden, your own Pokemon turn on you.
Right.
And it's completely out of left field, and you don't see what's going on just yet.
Right.
You have no idea what's making them act like this until much later.
Right.
So already you feel like you get a sense of, I wouldn't say dread, but definitely a sense of, like, I guess you can call it suspense or something like that, or as close to suspense as you can get on the show.
Right.
But there's a sense of, like, of danger going on to where you wonder, whoa, what is this? What's going on?
Right.
And that type of feeling.
Do you have any other pros?
Yeah, actually, I got several.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
That you have a Gastly who's hanging around, but obviously he doesn't seem to be too out of place with Officer Jenny or whatnot, because obviously, when you first meet him, Officer Jenny doesn't seem really all that freaked out. So you pretty much get a sense that obviously she's had some encounters with this Gastly a few times before.
Right.
To what extent, we don't know. But obviously, you know, he's been hanging around. And the fact that that he's stepping in and actually wanting to help, surprisingly enough, you know, that's a nice little touch. And it shows that, yeah, you know, some Pokemon, regardless of what type they are, you know, or whatever, you know, if they genuinely want to help, you know they will.
Right.
Which is nice.
And
without having a trainer.
Here's my question. Do you think that this Gastly is actually Officer Jenny's, or this is just some wild Gastly that just hangs around Officer Jenny?
Probably the latter.
Okay.
Of course, but then again, you know, if Gastly is in fact Officer Jenny's Pokemon, we don't really see that, because obviously we don't see Officer Jenny, you know, take out a Pokeball and, you know, and have Gastly answer it. So I'm going to go with the notion that he's probably just, you know, the Pokemon that just hangs around, but obviously, as we see in the episode, lends a good hand.
Okay.
Because again, I do have a bit, I'm sorry if I got a long list.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's good.
So there's those things, and also seeing Team Rocket, specifically Jesse and James, besides their interactions with Butch and Cassidy, which is always, you know, a hilarious thing, you also really get a chance to see them, again, it's one of the few episodes where Jesse and James will actually, you know, be like, you know what, we got a bigger problem going on here, let's team up with the Twerp and his friends, and let's do this.
Okay.
Of course, granted, yeah, in this episode, they do need a little convincing of sorts, but once they're on board, they're on board.
Well, I think that's actually a good thing because, you know, they've been bad guys since the beginning of the show. It takes them a while to decide to do this. It's not just an instant, we've lost our Pokemon, we've got to get them back. It's almost a very small character arc. Very small, but doesn't last very long. It only lasts for one episode. Yeah. You can tell that they care for their Pokemon, which is not usual for Team Rocket members. Usually just Team Rocket just use them as tools. They're a little different. They actually care for their specific Pokemon. They may not care about every other Pokemon. It's kind of this kind of, these are my Pokemon, I only care about them. You know, it's kind of like, this is my family, I only care about my family, I don't care about anybody else. Anybody else's family. That's kind of the mentality I think they have.
Yeah. Yeah, because Butch and Cassidy don't seem to be the kind that really would care all that much for their Pokemon if they weren't of any use to them. Whereas,
right.
You know, Jesse and James, you know, at least with their own Pokemon, you know they do.
Right.
Even though Victory Bell still tries to stuff James in its mouth every time he summons it, but still, you know.
I think that's more of a nibble, more of a like a kind of a kind of a love kind of thing. I guess it's maybe the Victory Bell's way of showing love, maybe.
I guess. You take whatever genuine affection you can get.
Right, I mean, it's like a cat and a dog when they don't bite you. They just kind of like you know, nibble on you or something. It's not meant to hurt, you know. Anyways, that's just the way I see it. So, I mean, you covered a lot of the ones that I liked. I love that it breaks from the formula. It breaks from the formula. Every once and again, Pokemon has to break away from the formula. So that's pretty much all of, you've covered all of my pros, pretty much. So I don't think I have to cover them.
Yeah. Oh,
let's get in.
Yeah,
oh, we got one last one? Go ahead.
I got one last one. Of course, Togepi's little metronome ability.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember watching that episode, I'm like, wait a minute, and when I see that, again, it saved their lives, it saved everybody, but I'm thinking to myself, I mean, several things. One, does Togepi know what it's doing, and why aren't Ash and Misty and Tracy, or even Pikachu, looking at this? I mean, it's just like, oh, God,
well, I mean, Togepi. In all honesty, this is a crisis. They're focused on stopping Butch and Cassidy. This is kind of a crisis, so of course you're not paying attention to Togepi. So, but this is where Togepi learns metronome. So, it's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, at the beginning, in another episode later on, you find out that Misty's been trying to teach Togepi some moves.
Yeah.
So it's not like Togepi doesn't know anything yet. It's just maybe because it's so young, it just doesn't want to. Maybe because Misty kind of treats it like a baby. You know, it just, you know, that's just the way it is. Let's go into the cons. I only have one con, so I'll just go first real quick. I know I said I'd let you go first, but let me just go because it's one nitpicky thing. Butch's voice. Yeah. Butch's voice bugs me so badly. His deep, gravelly voice. Just, I wish they would have chosen something different.
Yeah.
That's really my only con for this episode. I really just did not like Butch's voice. I wish they would have chosen someone else for that. I really kind of think that was a hurried thing. And then they were just like, well, we have to continue this same voice. And it sounds like it kind of hurt the person who did the voice, too. Like, it would hurt me if I did that voice.
Yeah, I guess they figured since James had this, you know, very upscale, as Eric Stewart once put it in an interview, he said that, you know, James has a very upscale, you know, kind of prim and proper, you know, type voice. I guess they figured they wanted to go for something different, for somebody who's kind of like pretty much his rival, essentially.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, but I do agree. I mean, I think Butch's voice is a little too gravelly, even back then. Back when I used to watch him. I mean, on the one hand, it made him distinct as a character, and it definitely made him different from James. But on the one hand, I think they could have toned down on the gravelly voice, because it does make Butch sound even older than he appears.
Right. Now, I don't know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I could buy it if Butch is at least a few years older than James. But I don't know. I mean, but I think yeah. That's pretty much is it on that one. So I mean.
Right. I know that Butch and Cassidy show up again in Ruby and Sapphire. I don't know if they appear any other time. I don't know if there's any other time that they appear. It looks like they may, maybe in Diamond and Pearl, but I've never watched any of Diamond and Pearl yet, so I have no clue. So I'm sure when we get there, we'll find out. But I do like them as Team Rocket's rivals. I think it's a good pick. It's a good pick. You know, because they're very similar, but also at the same time, they're very different. You know?
Yeah.
Any other cons for your for this episode?
Honestly, I can't really think of any.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I can't really think of anything else. I mean, it's a fun episode. And you've got again, it's not your formulaic. The episode was not your typical, you know, formulaic. It doesn't use the usual formula that you would expect from a Pokemon episode, which is good.
Right.
And you get to see you know, different things happen to the characters and especially their Pokemon once in a while.
Great.
So honestly, yeah, really no cons except for, you know, Butch's gravelly voice. But that, you know, that didn't bother me all that much.
Again, it's a nitpick. It's just a nitpick for me.
Yeah.
I like I said, I feel this is one of my favorite episodes of this story arc. It was done very well. It took its time. It actually was an interesting kind of story, and it just felt right. It was a throwaway episode. We're gonna see a lot of throwaway episodes, but it was a throwaway episode done right, in my opinion, and it kind of set up some things. The one thing that I just dislike about some of the earlier episodes is they have a lot of what I call throwaway episodes, which are just episodes that really you don't have to watch them. If you missed it, that's fine. I mean, this one was kind of a throwaway episode. However, you would miss the whole Togepi learning a move thing if you didn't watch this episode.
Yeah.
So, was that an important piece? I mean, with the episode coming up in the future, you could kind of piece it together. But I don't feel like it was a total throwaway episode, like other episodes that we'll be seeing in the future. So, all right. Well, that about wraps it up for probably our longest Pokemon rewind that we've recorded.
Must be some kind of record.
I know. Well, anyways, this is probably our longest episode. There's a lot to talk about with this episode, I believe. So, before we leave, just a few things to announce. First and foremost, if you like this episode and you're listening to this on iTunes, please go to iTunes. Give us a review. I don't care how many stars you give us, but please give us a review. We want to hear from you, okay? So please, please, please give us a review. Also, this is a mini-cast, even though this is probably the longest of our mini-casts. This is a mini-cast. This is just a segment of Cartoon Connoisseur Theater. We have another segment called Ruby Roundup, where we're going through Volume 3 of Ruby, the show by RoosterTeeth.com, so please check that out. Also, I have a webcomic called Tales from the Game Grid that's up every month. So make sure you check that out at our website, thearcadearchives.com. Again, it's thearcadearchives.com. And please, if you're listening to this on thearcadearchives.com or if you're listening to this on YouTube, please make sure you comment. We'd like to know what you think about these episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, that's at TalesFTGameGrid or our generic Arcade Archives Network site, Arcade Network Twitter account at Arcade A Network. Again, that's at Arcade A Network. Now, I want to thank Danny the Ultrasonic Player. Is there anything you want to plug, my friend?
Well, I contribute as a writer to the Arcade Archives website. And of course, I write fan fiction on fanfiction.net under my pen name, Ultra Sonic. And that's pretty much it on my end. So, again, you can just check me out on any of those two sites.
Great.
That's pretty much it on my end.
Great. So our next episode that we're going to be looking at is an episode entitled The Crystal Onyx. In this episode, Ash and friends go to a glassmaking island where they meet an artist who doesn't have any kind of inspiration and decides to look for a fabled crystal onyx. Now, does this crystal onyx exist? Well, we'll find out in the next episode. So we leave you with a clip from The Crystal Onyx. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Best wishes.
Get away from our crystal onyx.
Them again.
Hey, down here. I'm down here. That crystal onyx belongs to Team Rocket.
I don't get it. How did you three escape?
That is a secret you will never know.
The writers can't figure it out either.
Just think of all the beautiful junk we can make with that crystal.
The world's longest crystal necklace.
A crystal tub!
I'll get a crystal charm and become the Cat's Meow!
What makes me think we're going to blow it?
All right, Arbok, let's get to work!
Victory Bell!
Let go of me, will you? Don't attack me, attack them!
Come on, let's get rid of them, Pikachu!
Thank you for listening to this Arcade Archives Network podcast. If you like this, please go to iTunes and write a review. You can also comment on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. You can also go over to our other website, zowiekerpowie.com. Again, zowiekerpowie.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at TailsFTGameGrid. Again, at TailsFTGameGrid. Thank you again so much for joining us here for this Arcade Archives Network podcast, and keep playing like it's 1981.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.